You're scaremongering. No, you're scaremongering. Government and opposition earlier swapped accusations over controversial nature restoration proposals, including the rewetting of land that has been reclaimed for agriculture. And those proposals, which environmentalists say are pivotal in saving habitats, protected species and our climate, they hang in the balance tonight after a logjam in the European Parliament. Hugh O'Connell, what happened?
Yeah, well, effectively, there's a disagreement which boils down to, I think, the EPP, who had walked out of talks and have been kind of virulently opposed to the proposals that were on the table, resulting in the deadlock that we had today at the committee, which effectively means that they have to kick it out again, I think, until later in June. For further consideration. But, I mean, I'm sure as Brian will articulate, and environmentalists and indeed lots of other people who aren't necessarily major environmentalists have been saying, you know, we can't really delay on this. And that's the problem. And I think that, you know, the debate domestically has been summed up, I suppose, by Leo Varadkar saying the proposals went too far in some respects. You know, people like the agriculture minister saying that some of the compromise, Charlie McConlogue saying that some of the compromises reached had effectively meant that only state-owned land would be re-wetted. But then there's been concerns expressed that farmers who farm adjacent to state-owned land could be somehow impacted by the flooding of bogs and the restoration of biodiversity. So all of these issues, I suppose, will now be thrashed out further with a view to trying to get some form of compromise.
By the end of the month, but it could run
longer
again.
It could run longer than that. I mean, we do know through following the EU over the years that these are protracted processes that don't always yield fast results. And in the case of the planet being on fire, we can't really afford to wait much longer.
And Brian Leddin of the Green Party, how do you feel by today's developments? Your colleague Malcolm Noonan, the minister, says he's deeply worried.
Yeah, and he's right to be, and I think everybody should be. I think the performance of the EPP really has been absolutely disgraceful in all of this. And walking out of the talks is, you know, that was unconscionable that they would do that, and that they seek continually to kill this nature restoration law, like get rid of it completely. Like that is, and I don't think Fine Gael generally, notwithstanding what comments the Taoiseach might have made, I don't think they're really on board with killing this nature restoration law, because I think because the Fine Gael members of the Dáil and the Seanad that I work with every day acknowledge the critical importance of restoring nature, and they understand. And I think, you know, that's a reflection of politics in Ireland. We are probably more
centrist. Leo Varadkar himself has said the proposals go too far. So that does seem at odds with what you're saying there.
Yeah, and I don't think he should have said that. I think he should have used his influence in the EPP to negotiate on this and keep working on it. It is so hugely important. I'm really glad that Sinn Féin's Chris McManus changed his mind on it, because I did liken Sinn Féin and Fine Gael. I put them in the one category, that they were essentially anti-environment. Sinn Féin have changed, Fianna Fáil are split on it. Fine Gael needs to be on the right side of history on this. They need to use their influence in Europe and vote for this nature restoration law. Make it strong, because it's the direction of travel that we need to go on. It is going to work for this country. It's going to work for nature, and it's going to work for farmers as well.
We'll unpick some of the concerns in a moment. You could compared Sinn Féin and Fine Gael. You're sitting in between them at the moment, to Tweedledee and Tweedledum in the Dáil there recently. But Mary Siri Carney of Fine Gael, what do you say to Brian Leddin's charge in relation to both the conduct of your own party, Fine Gael, and the European People's Party in all this as well?
Well, I think, first of all, the very clear position of our party is that the nature restoration law is essential, that we need to ensure that the phenomenal biodiversity loss over the last 50 and indeed 100 years needs to be reversed, and that we have to turn the tide on that. All five Fine Gael MEPs expressed their disappointment on the day that the negotiators
Colin
walked out.
Colin Markey has been out on the airwaves opposing some of the proposals, has he not?
The Fine Gael MEP from Midlands Northwest. Negotiation. We're still in a place of negotiation. Indeed, the Fisheries and Agricultural Committee rejected the proposal. So you know, we need to be careful. Today in the vote, it was a 44-44 split, which shows you that there is is within this, there is a debate and there is a distance to go.
But can there be greater leadership shown by you and your European colleagues on this? They've walked out of the talks, as Brian Leddon said.
Within this, we need to be sure that we're not pitting farmers against environmentalists, that we're not doing that. There is a win-win available here, and the clarifications, the Commission themselves, the original proposal was very badly drafted. The fact is that it lacked flexibility.
But
it might be
pushed out for many years.
The Commission
years
themselves,
now.
There's no question of being pushed out for many years. Nobody
if it
has
doesn't
that.
Pass the
the
vote.
Plenary, the fact is that the plenary may be in July or it may be as late as September. But in that, there is a window to ensure that we are bringing farm families with us. As a state, we have already committed state lands for rewetting. We have already done that.
Have you?
Yes, we have. It's very much in our approach.
Do you agree with the EPP walking out?
I think that by nature I am a negotiator and work to collaborate. It's part of how I conducted my legal practice.
Do you agree with
so
the
I think
EPP
that if
did.
You're negotiating, you need to stay in the room.
So the Taoiseach should have done more, really, shouldn't he, to encourage? I mean, he's an EPP Prime Minister. He's one of a handful.
I'm not going to comment on what he may or may not have done.
Instead, he said in the Dáil that the law went too far. Then he said that Ireland was reserving his position. I mean, he hasn't exactly led from the front on this, has he?
And out on media today, he was very, very clear that we need to support this. We need to ensure that we arrive at a place where there is a win-win. This idea that it is a forced position rather than one that there is voluntary.
Well, the issue of voluntary is a key part of it as well. But Darren O'Rourke, which is a grey area, as has been highlighted as well. But Darren O'Rourke, what is the Sinn Féin position? Brian Leddon outlined perhaps a changing of it. So what exactly is your position?
Yeah, we want a nature restoration law that is ambitious, that is deliverable, that supports a transition, that delivers a just transition, that has adequate funding.
Chris McManus voted against this a few weeks ago. MEP
at the Agri Committee. He's a member of the Agri Committee, and the nature of these things is that the document, the law, the regulation at that stage was different than it is today, because of the contribution of Sinn Féin and others and on the left and other groups. We successfully secured compromise amendments in relation to funding, in relation to socioeconomic impact, in relation to public participation, also in relation to ensure that it would be a voluntary scheme and to be explicit in relation to that. Now, unfortunately, the EPP were successful in voting that down. But I think, look, this is a work in progress. We need to be very clear.
Work in progress.
Absolutely.
More than 80% of EU habitats in bad or poor conservation status. So what's going to happen at the end of the month?
They're back for more votes, and it was very tight. And I think there was a period there, talking to colleagues, where the 44 versus 44 didn't hold, and a number of I think important amendments, including in relation to voluntary versus mandatory rewetting, which some people will say that's a red herring, but at the same time,
voluntary won't be included in the European legislation. It might be included in the domestic legislation.
I heard the minister earlier on, and he said we have an aspiration to make, and I think it's understandable from the agricultural community to say, because they have bad experience in the past. They will see it, and I listen to them. I think it is important to listen to them in relation to this. They will say, we're very concerned that there's some indication that this won't be mandatory, but in the years ahead, when targets are missed, some bureaucrat will sit down with a pencil and will draw lines on a map, and that will have a significant implication. And I think the really important thing is to provide assurances. And I wouldn't rule out that it shouldn't be included in the regulation. As I said, we had a compromise amendment before the Envi Committee today. It was voted down. Let's see it again at plenary. Let's try and deliver that type of assurance for agricultural communities.
Brian Leddon.
This is the language of prevarication.
Let's do it.
It's too vague. So we need more definition.
Farmers don't trust the Green Party, Brian. That's a reality.
Because of the misinformation and the likes of Sinn Féin shout and spew across the Dáil chamber, that's why. We are absolutely committed to rural Ireland and to the farming sector and to a sustainable farming sector. And the sector itself should acknowledge that it wants a sustainable sector, and that's what we are about. This is the language of prevarication.
But surely,
we don't put European regulation is about the direction of travel over a number. Sorry, Darren. Over a number of decades, it's setting the high level approach and ambition. That's what this is about. The detail is when you transpose that down to the national level, you get the plans and the strategies and the policies and the measures. That's when, like, but this you don't like no government. No government is going to.
Regulation has to be applied in the same.
We
have benefited.
One voice, please.
We have benefited so much. So much. It's the 50th anniversary of our participation in the European Union. This country has benefited incredibly from membership of the European Union. The farming community in this country has benefited immeasurably from membership of the European Union. Why is it going to change now? 50 years after such a good track record, are we going to sell the farmers down the river? That is not going to happen.
This is a problem. And look, I believe that people who are sincere about this want to get to the same place and want to do it quickly and want it to be ambitious. But I have to say, you know, Brian and colleagues have stood and lectured people, told people that they don't understand the regulation.
No, you're lecturing me now.
Let me finish. You're telling people that they don't understand the regulation. What they are saying very clearly, heard a representative on the radio earlier on, wanted explicit assurances that these schemes would be voluntary. And what's the significance of that? It shifts the focus. It shifts the focus and the responsibility onto government to design schemes that are attractive for farmers.
They will instead, be voluntary no, just a because second, all just schemes a second, just are voluntary.
Just a second.
You need the buy-in. That's politics. That's government. That's how it works. You need the buy-in. That's how every scheme works.
Put it in
you
the text.
You don't push that in. This is in high-level European regulation.
We secured an amendment.
Do you remember our arguments on the climate?
Okay, let's pivot to Mary Siri Carney. What do you think?
The fact of the matter is that, yes, we have had 50 years of very good growth and input investment in our country as a consequence of our membership of the EU and the EEC or all of its various permutations over the years. But everything was negotiated. Everything was arrived at in a consensus. The fact is we are in a negotiation. That's not prevarication. That it is reasonable that we do not ignore communities, that we do not leave and completely rule out the fears of generations of farmers. The fact is, we need the economic impact assessments. We need the engagement of stakeholders. That has to occur as part of this. And in the window between the vote on the 27th of June and the plenary, there should be further negotiations. And the other thing is, a regulation has to be applied the same in every member state. So we need to be very careful about what's in that regulation. The idea that we can suddenly depart from that, that is a directive. Not a regulation. So, Darren, a regulation is of a senior level. So we need the negotiation.
Let's agree, because surely we've heard it loud and clear, that there is very real concern in the agricultural community, in the farming community in particular, that these schemes will be mandatory and imposed. There are very real concerns. So I think there should be a response to that be as explicit as possible. There's reference, and some of it you might be charged as scaremongering in terms of CPOs and this type of thing.
Is it not scaremongering, though? Because most lands that will be re-wetted in the near distant future will be public lands. It won't be private lands at all.
I raise the question, why not be explicit in the regulation? And if not the regulation, to be explicit, rather than, we heard the minister on this morning and he said, we will aspire to that. Like, that does not provide the type of confidence that farmers need. And I think we should, you know, if we're looking at delivering on this and delivering it on its success, I think you have to respond to those concerns, not just dismiss them or try to explain them away, because I don't think that's working.
Brian, what about those concerns? And Darren O'Rourke has mentioned it with regards to the voluntary nature of the scheme. Pat McCormack of the ICMSA, he says, how can it be voluntary? If my neighbour decides to go in and re-wet, it has an impact on me. That's not voluntary for me. And people who've lived beside state lands, which are currently going through this beside Bournemouth lands, they're reporting the same thing as well. So how do you respond to that?
You design the plans and policies to make sure that those concerns are met. And that's what happens with every scheme. That's like, we've 50 years experience of this. Like, nobody is going to sell, like, In any future government, whether Sinn Féin are leading it or Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, or maybe it'll be a Green overall majority someday, they're not going to sell the farmers down the river or the neighbouring farms of the Bordnamona lands. But that's not realistic.
The comparison is this, as I hear it from farmers, that it'll be like SACs and NHAs, that they will be designated and you heard it at the Climate Committee as well, Brian. I think those are concerns are there, and if they can be addressed, then they should be addressed explicitly. And I think if you do that, well, then you have a better chance of bringing people along with you.
You wanted to jump in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we're having this debate now, but I mean, look, the key point is that, look, if you look at the EPA report, like, we're not on course to meet any of the
targets. This report yesterday shows us in real peril.
Yeah, any of the legally binding targets that we've set, we're going to miss on the current trajectory. So that just shows that really, 3 years into this government's term, I don't think the rubber's really hit the road on this in a lot of respects. And, like, that's ultimately going to mean that we miss our targets for 2030.